105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the first BizConnect radio show of 2021. Yippee! It's fabulous to have you with us today on this grey, somewhat cold and rainy day. Unfortunately, my co-host won't be with me today, Tracy Westall. Tracy is off doing voluntary works, helping set up a local COVID test centre in her area. So well done, Tracy, and good luck with that today in this weather. But you have got me, Martin White, for an hour and a half, and you've also got some fabulous guests as well. We'll be doing our usual roundup of business news and focusing in on some of the exciting events that are happening this week and next. But we've also got two fabulous guests on the show as well. We've got Rob Robinson from Kent County Council's Low Carbon Kent team. And we've also got the wonderful Sue McGowan from Kent Space as well. So they'll be joining us in the sort of after about the first half hour of the show. We'll have Rob on. And then Sue in the second part of the show. And I'd also like to say a very special mention to a good friend of the BizConnect radio show, who we sadly lost over Christmas, and that is Simon Morgan from the HR department. Simon had been on the show a couple of times, but he'd been struggling with cancer for the last 3 years and very sadly passed away on Christmas Day. So our thoughts are with Simon's family at this time, but also hoping that Simon is looking down from on high and enjoying the show that he was certainly very much a regular part of as well. So rest in peace, Simon. I think what we'll do now is we'll play a little bit of music and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you again for joining us today for the first BizConnect radio show of 2021. I don't know about you, but certainly for me, as a business owner, it's beginning to feel a little bit like Groundhog Day out there. we seem to be going through this sort of continuous cycle of tier lockdowns at the moment, which is very frustrating for everyone in business, obviously. I think ultimately there is light at the end of the tunnel. By Easter, hopefully, we should be through the worst of it. But in the meantime, obviously, businesses are going to be going through a huge amount of cash flow pressure, shall we say. Regardless of whether you're a business that has physical premises or staff, I think, you know, all businesses have a certain degree of overhead and salary to pay. And, you know, in particular, if you're a company director at the moment, unable to kind of furlough yourself and take advantage of any income support schemes that the government has kind of implemented, then obviously it's very, very difficult. So my advice to you at the moment and to all of us, because we're all in the same boat, is to keep your eyes focused on your local authority website. You know, whether you're in Thanet or Medway, it doesn't really matter. They are very good at the moment in terms of keeping the business community updated as to the grant schemes that are currently available to help businesses. So, for example, obviously non-essential businesses are closed at the moment. If those businesses have premises, they are entitled to ongoing grant support there. But also businesses that might be operating from home, for example. So say you are a company director of a limited company and you run your business from home, there are additional discretionary grants that are now quite regular in terms of their implementation. We had one under the November lockdown, for example, and there will be others that are kind of following suit fairly quickly. And I know that I think Maidstone have got one that's about to close, for example, for the latest Tier 4 restrictions that were implemented pre-Christmas. So do keep your eyes peeled on your local authority websites, regardless of whether you're a business that actually pays business rates and has physical business premises. You may, as I say, be a company director working from home. You may be a bed and breakfast. You may be a business that operates out of a serviced office-based facility like Kent Space, for example. And we've got Sue McGowan on the show later on this afternoon to talk about that. All of those businesses will qualify for additional discretionary grant support, subject obviously to you being able to illustrate that your business has been adversely affected by the latest Tier 4 restrictions. So there is a small amount, a modest amount of help available there, and it really is down to each of us individually just to make sure that we're kind of as up to date and informed as we can be, and that we're actually applying for that money, because it is ours and it is there to help us through the next 3 months in particular. So so good luck with that. I'm not going to say any more on that. What I am going to do is just give you a brief overview in terms of our role as the BizConnect radio show. And we are very much part of a local media and marketing network that exists primarily to promote and connect businesses in the wider community to do business. So we have a network of three businesses. We have a business-to-business platform called supplymobusiness.co.uk. We have another one focused specifically on the sustainable or green business sector, which is greenbusinesshub.eco. And then in the middle, we have obviously the BizConnect radio show that kind of sits in the middle of those two. And for example, on our Facebook page, you could join our BizConnect radio show group. And you can post information and content about your business, which, we'd be quite happy to read out on air as well. So you can tweet us at Kent_Biz, or you can actually join our Facebook group, the BizConnect Radio Show Facebook group, and you can post content on there. And as I say, we're very, very happy to share that information and share that content with the wider business community free of charge through that group. So do let us know what you're up to as a business, and how we can help spread the word and your good news stories, particularly at the moment. In terms of what's going on this week and next, there is some exciting stuff coming up, which I just want to share with you as well. But I think what we'll do is we'll play a little bit more music, and then we'll get into some of that after the break. Okay.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back again, everybody, to the BizConnect radio show, our first show back after Christmas, and Happy New Year to everyone. I'm just going to give a very quick overview now of some of the events that are happening this week and next that you may be interested in. The first one is on Wednesday, and again, it's another very good friend of the show, Terry Botfield, who runs a networking group called the Marsh Network, which used to meet face-to-face down in New Romney, but has now become a virtual bi-weekly networking meeting. And the first one is on Wednesday. It's at 10:30 in the morning. There's a £5 contribution to a local charity as well. It's generally got sort of 20-odd people in it, so quite a good mixture of local businesses, certainly one that I attend regularly. And Terry would love to see you. So it's on, as I say, it's on Wednesday the 6th. It's 10:30 a.m. You can book via marshnetwork.co.uk. Or you'll also find all the information on Eventbrite if you want to have a look for it there. But as I say, Terry would love to see you at his first virtual networking of the year at the Marsh Network. On Friday this week, they're coming thick and fast already, we have another good friend of the show, Bruce Kidd, who was on recently. from Oasis, which is Operational Accounting Systems, and they are running an introduction to inventory optimization, the future of stock management. So that's this Friday at 09:30 to 10:30. So it's just an hour of your time. It's an online seminar, and it really is a basic guide, really, to explaining all about inventory optimization. So, you know, 2020, great case in point. You know, how businesses operating in the hospitality supply chain, for example, were able to manage their inventory levels and being able to kind of react to this, in lockdown, out of lockdown kind of scenario is a really good example there. So, Bruce, again, would love to see you at his seminar this Friday. It is free to attend. You can book via their website, which is o-a-sys.co.uk, or you'll find all of the information for that event on our supplymobusiness.co.uk website on our community page as well. So that's this Friday at 09:30. And then next week, we've got a rather important event happening, which the FSB have organised, and that is the Kent and Medway Business Summit. Actually, it's on the 15th of January. So let me just do my maths. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, it is. It's a week on Friday. So Friday the 15th of January, the Kent and Medway Business Summit, which is now in its fourth year, and this year will certainly have a very clear focus on business resilience and renewal and strategy for a return to growth. Normally it's hosted in person at the University of Kent's Kent Business School, but obviously this year it is a virtual event. It's being run in partnership with the FSB, the Institute of Directors, locating Kent, as well as the Kent Business School. And normally they have around sort of 400 businesses attending this event. And the idea really is to help debate and shape some of the future economic and business strategy in the county for the coming year. So the output from the day is summarised in report form and fed back into the key decision-making process in the county. So obviously there's an opportunity for open networking there for businesses. There'll be an overview of what's going on in the broader UK economy, and I think the Bank of England will be doing a presentation there. There'll be a presentation from Locating Kent about attracting investment into Kent. And then the theme of the day really is very much focused around a number of workshops, which are really kind of focused in on some of the core themes that are relevant for the Kent economy. So the first one, for example, will be about innovation and productivity in Kent's food and drink sector. The second workshop will be about skilling and retraining talent in Kent and Medway for our cultural, creative and digital future. There'll be another workshop three, which is focused around placemaking. It's entitled Placemaking for Kent and Medway, which is about shaping our future high streets and town centres and what should they look like. And I think that's, again, particularly relevant, as we emerge from lockdown and perhaps we're creating more aspirational live workspaces and the future for the high street there. And then finally, there is a workshop entitled People, Planet and Profit, and this is about creating a green economy by building sustainable infrastructure for Kent and Medway. And again, I think our next show guest, our first show guest, Rob Robinson, will shed some light on that as well. So it is quite a full-on day. It starts at 9:30 in the morning and we'll finish at about sort of 2:30 in the afternoon with some kind of final networking. You'll find the information for this and how to register, and I think tickets are £10 for this online event this year. You'll find all of the information on it and how to register, again, on our supplymobusiness.co.uk website and on our community page. Or you can just search for Kent Business Summit 2021 and I'm sure you'll find it that way as well. So yeah, hope to see you there. It's going to be another cracking event. Another deadline, if you like, that I need to make you aware of is the HerBiz Startup Business Workshop Series application deadline, which is actually Wednesday the 13th of January. So that's next Wednesday. So HerBiz is a startup workshop program that has been created by the Let's Do Business Group, who are one of our region's largest business support providers, and in particular with regard to startup business finance for things like startup loans, for example. And they're running a series of workshops specifically aimed at budding female entrepreneurs who are looking to start their own business, but perhaps need some initial help in terms of shaping their business idea, creating a business plan, for example, and ultimately, you know, where to go to access finance to help get their business idea off the ground. So you need to apply for this. Again, it's completely free of charge. You need to apply for this registration before the 13th of January, so that's before next Wednesday, if you want to take part in the January intake, if you like, for the workshop series. Again, you'll find all of the information for that on supplymobusiness.co.uk on the community page, or obviously you'll find more information on the Let's Do Business Group website as well, or you can just search for it again on Eventbrite and I'm sure you'll find it. So yeah, it's a fantastic program, and as I say, it's again particularly relevant at the moment, I think, as more and more people look at the opportunity perhaps for starting their own business. So yeah, we wish you all the best with that as well. We're going to play a little bit more music and then we'll come back, and I think we need to talk to our first guest, and that is going to be Rob Robinson from the Low Carbon Kent team at Kent County Council. So we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for staying with our BizConnect show today. I'm delighted to say that we've now got on the line our first guest, and that is Rob Robinson, who is the Sustainable Business Programmes Manager at Kent County Council and Low Carbon Kent. Rob, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Happy New Year, Martin.
Happy New Year. Lovely to have you with us, Rob. Rob, I think it's fair to say that, with everything that's gone on in 2020 around COVID and the pandemic, that the climate change agenda got a little bit kind of forgotten about. But I think it's also fair to say that it hasn't really gone away. That problem is still very much with us, isn't it? So, I mean, in your own words, could you just give us a little bit of context around 2050 and what zero net carbon actually means for the UK?
I mean, you've pretty much summed that up there, Martin, because, yeah, everyone made a big song and dance, quite rightly, about the climate emergency last year, and if not, back end of the year before. And then a little thing called COVID sort of got involved, but there was already a number of plans that were underway, not just, across Kent and Medway and the boroughs and districts, but, across the UK. The COVID element got in the way of a lot of the delivery and also a lot of the legislation. So, what has happened is that we've got an agreement, a net zero target across Kent and across the wider UK, that we're talking about 2050 as a target where we're not going to be emitting as much as possible, and within the Kent and Medway estate, essentially. So we're looking at business activities and operating activities, as well as the buildings that we are responsible for. We're taking that target to 2030. Mm-hmm. And in partnership with 12 districts and boroughs plus Medway, under the Kent and Medway Energy and Low Emission Strategy, we're looking to make that target, the 2030 target, something that we're going to work in partnership to respond to the wider climate emergency. So we're looking at things like reducing fuel poverty, eliminating poor air quality, and trying to support the clean, sustainable economic recovery that the county needs and the country needs, really.
Because it's a massive agenda, isn't it, on that level? If you think, you know, you talk about the you know, the KCC estate and your objective of being carbon neutral by 2030. I mean, that's all your public buildings. You know, that's and you've obviously, you're based in the heart of Maidstone. You've got some rather large office space there, obviously, as well as a chamber, you know, where the council obviously sits. So we're talking about all of that, presumably. Are we talking about schools within that as well, or is that a separate issue?
Schools are sort of separate, but they're still part of the same they're part of the same agenda. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, or fortunately, Kent is a large county, so we're also talking about transport emissions as well. Mm-hmm. So the fact is that we've got some schools that are off the gas grid, so that they're heated by oil. We'd like to sort of try and aid the transformation, the decarbonisation of heat. So basically, move away from things like oil and into heat pumps and electric sort of systems, which is where we continuing our sort of solar schools program.
So a lot of that is going to be retrofit activity, as well as obviously any kind of new builds, I guess, you know, school extensions, new school builds. All of that is going to have to fit within a kind of a carbon neutral agenda, if you like.
Yes, and I mean that's why that, you know, depending on the school, whether it's academy or otherwise. I mean, yeah, there's different sort of bits to take in, but essentially, yeah, the fact is that most buildings that we're talking about, you know, whether this is the council, or whether this is, you know, other public sector buildings or publicly owned buildings or residential association sort of buildings, they're already here. Mm. You know, we can talk about planning and BREEAM excellent buildings and all this sort of groundbreaking technology, but essentially the huge part of the huge ambition really is looking at retrofitting existing buildings as reasonable as possible to reduce the emissions relating to that.
And that's going to apply to
their lighting and the like, yeah.
That'll apply to domestic housing as well, ultimately, I guess. I mean, that's, you know, that's a huge task as well, isn't it?
Yes, there is. I mean, that's one of the there's another thing we're looking at as well. Mm. You know, part of the Green Homes Grant it was well subscribed. The fact is that the businesses and the residential properties that have signed up for that, they are going to need local installers that can deliver on the ambitions that is, whether that's, you know, heating systems being replaced, or double glazing and draft exclusion, insulation, all of the bits that we generally as a population assume everyone's done. Oh, everyone's insulated their loft, everyone's done this, everyone's done that. Unfortunately, that isn't the case.
No.
It's potentially the easiest and most impactful thing to do. Mm. And then we look at the difficult to treat buildings that, the older buildings that have got solid bricks, that, you know, you're looking at internal and external wall insulation, those sorts of things. But the easiest things should be the ones that are done quickest.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the Green Homes Grant Scheme now. I think it's fair to say that it hasn't had the best press necessarily, has it, in terms of, eligibility of kind of project. But as you said, you know, being able to find the approved tradespeople to actually then carry out the work. I think there's been quite a bottleneck there, hasn't there, in terms of, you know, finding, you know, specialists to do, you know, or approved tradespeople to do the, you know, the insulation work, for example, and installation work.
Yeah, I mean, that is part of the issue of government announcements, possibly before a lot of the details had been ironed out, and people on the ground that were going to be looking to try and deliver and action these this scheme, was aware of what the details were going to be. I mean, the fact is there's definitely a demand, but yeah, we're really looking at the best way to honour that demand with accreditations that or businesses that are accredited. We're looking to do some work through a number of sessions to look at activating that supply chain. We're doing a low carbon homes event back end of this month. Mm-hmm. Three mornings to try to work with the MCS accreditation scheme and others, and some of the larger installers to try and get more businesses on the supply chain.
Brilliant.
So yeah, it's there are, as ever, a number of different ways that we're having to try to help create a demand and also service that demand. And
because that's a lot of the time-honored challenge of
people in our sort of position, really.
Because there's been a huge amount of talk, and you know, Number 10 have obviously published their own agenda in terms of the, you know, Boris's green industrial revolution and his 10-point action plan and everything else. But I think you know, that is the key now, isn't it? We need action. We need initiatives that get off the ground, that actually, you know, are going to make a difference, rather than, you know, strategizing and talking about it. So, you know, all the background work, you know, in terms of the Kent Environment Strategy, for example, is there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would encourage businesses to take a really good look at that, because it really does set out, you know, the council's vision for how, you know, zero net carbon is going to be delivered. You know, in the next sort of 30 years, where can people get a hold of a copy of that, Rob? I mean, we've got a link to it actually on our website, greenbusinesshub.eco, but presumably it's available on the council's own website as well, is it?
Yes, and available on kent.gov.uk.
Right.
And just look for the environment and the environment planning section.
Good, because I think it really does kind of map out, you know, let's say, for example, you're a developer, you know, and you work, you know, in the education sector in Kent, for example. You might be working with East Kent College or someone like that. It's very clear, you know, going forwards that, you know, as part of the procurement process, you know, businesses will be evaluated on the sustainability, if you like, of their procurement proposal. And so, you know, this is going to be reality, you know, very, very soon.
Yes, it's reality now.
Right.
You know, there's, in terms of scoring criteria of tenders, and, you know, and it's not just Kent County Council, but, there is a quite a large... a large element of it now, where we are looking at the sustainability elements, you know, environmental policies, environmental management plans, you know, where the workforce is coming from, what's actually going to be used as part of the you know, the services and the goods that are being delivered,
materials,
it's looking at the whole gamut, rather than just, you know, the snapshots and the let's just cut and paste an environmental policy and stick it into a tender. There are businesses that are looking to work with larger companies that have been having to do this anyway. And that's really what used to be, you know, a nice to have tick box. It's become commonplace that is actually now makes good business to actually think about.
So businesses listening to this, you know, should be really you know, looking at that and you know, looking about, you know, looking at ways to, you know, to create a more sustainable business proposition, you know, going forwards for their business. So I think that's quite key. Rob, I think what we're going to do, we're going to play a little bit of music now, and we're going to come and talk about some of the kind of initiatives that are actually on the table now in Kent through yourselves and your team to actually help businesses, you know, in that whole kind of sustainability sector going forward.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got Rob Robinson with us today, who is the Sustainable Business Programmes Manager at Kent County Council. Rob, great to have you with us.
Hello, Martin. Thanks for continuing to have me with you.
It's super to have you on the show, Rob. What I'd like to do, if we can now, is talk about some of the, you know, we spoke before the break about the importance of kind of having some action now and things actually happening on the ground to kind of move us towards, you know, being a zero net carbon economy. So just talk to us about some of the business support programs that are on offer in Kent at the moment to help businesses make that transition.
Yeah, more than happy to do that. So yeah, grab a plate and have a look at the buffet that I've got on. We extend the seasonal metaphor. So yeah, we've got the main sort of headline really is that low carbon across the southeast, Locase, which is a project that we've been working for the last sort of 4 or 5 years. That the back end of last year got approval for us to follow. Basically follow on until the spring of 2023. So that is a program that has helped, well, over 1,000 businesses. We saved sort of 7,800 tons worth of CO2, I think. And that is specifically of helping any SME, any small business that's been looking at a sustainability, sort of a resource efficiency project. Mm-hmm. They've been helping with some funding towards that, and that's EU money. That's being used within the region, and also if you are a business in the low carbon environmental goods and services sector, we've been able to help with some general business support, business development work, so things like, you know, helping with some consultancy or with R&D, with development of products and services. Mm-hmm. And some marketing elements as well, and some consultancy. So It sort of depends on what business it is as to how that would work, but essentially it is it's funding that can continue. Mm-hmm. And it's something that really, as an area, we want to make the most of again. So we've, within Kent and Essex and East Sussex, as a partnership within the South East Local Enterprise Partnership, we've managed to do really well with that, and we're linking that work in with some sector support fund work as well. Mm-hmm. Which is looking to map, to basically find all of the businesses that are in the low carbon sector across the whole of the southeast, work with those businesses to see how best they can be supported, and basically pilot a clean growth program to try and, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, Boris's grand plan and the green industrial revolution. We want the southeast to be a huge player in that. So we want to help sort of all the different clean growth areas sort of expand and develop and get a big slice of the pie.
And in essence,
and Locase is going to be a nice way of continue to enable, you know, the good work that we've been doing already. Mm.
And this, in essence, it is a grant funding program. As you say, it is European money, but the money is in place, despite the fact that obviously we've very publicly now, well, we'd already left Europe, but we've actually come to the end of the transition period now as well. But the money is guaranteed, it is in place. And in essence, it will fund up to 40% of any qualifying expenditure in that business. Is that correct? Up to a maximum of £10,000?
Yeah, that is exactly correct, Martin. Mm. Yeah. I believe you've got Sue on with
Sue McGowan, yes.
And I think Kent Space were one of the beneficiaries previously with some expansion work they were doing. Mm. I think there was lighting and heat pumps and insulation. So, the standard sort of projects that maybe businesses have had half an eye on doing the last few years, then, it makes perfect sense to do that because, yes, you're saving a good amount of money in terms of electricity or gas or whatever it might be. But you also really just you're getting a little bit of extra funding to make the payback period even better.
Yeah.
So
brilliant. People to register their interest at the moment, aren't you, for Locase 2?
Yes.
So just give us a shout out for the website there, Rob, where people can do that.
Yes, it's locase.co.uk. So that's locase.co.uk. In the top right there, it will say register here. All your business details. We can work with businesses we've worked with previously, but it will involve registering again because we've got some slightly different tweaked legal wording, etc. But yeah, it's a real relief to be able to follow that on. It has been a challenge getting that approved through government. But we've done it, which is great news, which means that we can continue to fight the fight for a good few years now.
Fantastic. So that's Locase, but I know you've had another program running in the background as well, which has really caught particularly tradespeople's attention. You've been running something called Kent Revs, which is an electric, try an electric van free promotion. Tell us a little bit about that, Rob.
Yes, yeah, this time last year, I think we just had to beat a Christmas deadline to apply for some Highways England money. And that was basically, I've got to stop saying basically, that was a way of getting capital funding to cover the purchase of a number of electric vans for use of organisations around Kent. So Kent Revs, Kent Realise, an electric van scheme. Basically, everything's got to have a little acronym on it. We've got 90, I think there's something around 90 organisations that have already signed up.
Wow.
So there's already a waiting list. But we've got our first 10, 12 vans arrived and are now sort of sign written and being fitted with trackers, etc. And we've that's going to be going live next week, depending on whether we're in full lockdown or not next week, but that's the plan.
So we'll see a nice.
Just going to be a way of having a business that can try a van to see where it would fit into their fleet for up to 2 months for free essentially.
So what should we be looking out for on the roads? Are they going to be Kent Revs branded as well as the business?
There are some that are garishly Kent Revs branded.
Because it is quite a sort of in-your-face logo, isn't it? So we won't miss it.
It is, and there are some that are slightly more discreetly branded. The fact is, these are going to largely be some tradespeople, but also some community organisations and other... other sort of businesses, but it is going to be. We've got some Nissan MV200s, and we've got some. I can't remember what the other ones are.
Is it Renault? Is it
Renault,
Zoe's?
I think they're the. Sorry.
Is it Zoe's? Is it the Renault Zoe? No.
It's the Renault. It's the new version of the Renault Kangoo. Basically.
Oh, okay. Because
we've got some that are somewhere in Europe at the moment. They were hit by the no one's allowed into Britain before Christmas. So there were some in factories in Germany and another one somewhere else in France. But we will track them down, and they are going, when they're here, they'll be sign written and they'll go out. But we're going to have a good fleet already ready and out there. So keep your eye out, basically. Yeah. If anyone's driving around in them, give them a honk, give them a wave.
Fantastic. That sounds fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. I'm assuming, though, because of the interest you've had, that's pretty much closed now, that program, in terms of sign up for other businesses that may be interested. Or do you still want them to get in touch with you?
Well, we're going to be running this for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, the first couple of trials are going to be sort of covered by that 90. Anyone that's interested, then they you know, they can certainly get in touch. If you want to do that via lowcarbon@kent.gov.uk, mm-hmm. then that works. Otherwise, it's been run by Kent Commercial Services, so you can look on their website for that as well.
Brilliant.
But yeah, it's still open, mm-hmm. And yeah, there are going to be a number of organisations that may well drop out as well. Yeah. So
well, and if it's only for 2 months, I mean, the vehicles are going to be recycled presumably, and then they'll just be sign written, and the next business will take on.
Oh, no, they're sign written. They're sign written all with the Kent Revs branding. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're not sign written with the business that's borrowing them for 2 months. That wouldn't be in the spirit of recycling.
Resource
efficiency.
Good. Well, look, Rob, we've come to the end of our time today. Obviously, you know, zero net carbon is a massive undertaking for the whole country, not just Kent. And, you know, I would imagine that there will be a serious step change now in terms of you know, the business community and the public sector coming together to drive this agenda on the ground and actually make it happen. So I see you very much as being a regular guest on our show, just to update us in terms of what's going on there, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, with pleasure, Mark, with pleasure. I mean, we haven't really covered it because there's only so much time you've got.
Exactly.
But, there's some really good circular economy work we're doing as well.
Yeah.
So looking at waste, because waste is a important resource as well.
Absolutely.
So do take a look at the Low Carbon Kent website to see what we've been up to.
Yeah, fantastic. And as I say, you know, we'll get you back on soon just to give us an update, maybe once Locase 2 has gone live, and we can talk more about the circular economy and upcycling initiative as well. But I think for now, Rob, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Not a problem.
Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back again, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the BizConnect radio show today with myself, Martin White, and sadly not my co-host, Tracy Westall, who is away today volunteering to help set up a COVID test centre. So, yeah, we hope that's going well. But I'm delighted to say that we have got another guest with us today, and that is the absolutely fabulous Sue McGowan from Kent Space. Sue, welcome to the show.
Hi, Martin. Thank you. Inviting me, and happy new year
to you too. It's so nice to have you with us today. I know it's dreary, it's cold, it's dark outside, but hey, you've got to start the new year somehow, haven't you?
yeah a big drip, that'll be fine. We can cope with a big drip. You can mop those up. So the weather's not great, but it'll warm up
eventually. Now, the fact that we are talking today means that you guys are obviously very much open for business for your customers, which is brilliant. So tell us a little bit about Kent Space, if you can, who you are and what you guys do.
Okay. Kent Space are providers of self-storage and serviced offices with 24/7 access. We opened our doors to the world with our first facilities 13 years ago with our Chatham branch up in Lordswood, and I joined 13 years ago as the assistant manager there, working alongside Suzanne Knowles, who was the current manager at that point. And between the two of us, we grew Chatham into a very successful business, and off the back of that, we then built Ashford, and they're based in the iconic Letchset building down on Watton Road.
Yes, yeah.
And then we got the third one, Ebbsfleet, that's recently opened a year ago.
Fabulous, yeah. Yeah, I know it well. Very, very modern building, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So just going back then, just taking you back sort of 13 years to when you started, to me, what's lovely about Kent Space is the fact that, A, you've been there for 13 years, but B, the fact that you learnt the ropes, if you like, from the ground up, and that's very much your kind of philosophy, isn't it, with all your managers at the various sites, that they come in not necessarily at management level, but they are mentored by the incumbent manager so that they learn actually how to do the job in the Kent Space way.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, Chatham is the life and soul of Kent Space from the get-go. And, you know, our ethos is our customer service and the professional service that we provide all our clients. And we always bring our new managers or any assistant managers to be promoted up to Chatham to get a feel for how we operate. Mm. Ashford and Ebbsfleet are running in the same parallel now with Chatham, and you know, it is very much, I mean, Chatham's my baby, it's my home, it's where I grew up, as it were. Mm. And you know, we definitely would like to make sure we maintain that level of customer service throughout all the sites.
Yeah, because I mean, no problem is too big. I mean, it's very much that kind of attitude, isn't it? But it's also the nice kind of touchy-feely things around that as well, in terms of, you know, the provision of complimentary tea and biscuits and little things like that that just make people's day at work that much more bearable, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, we go above and beyond sometimes to make sure that people feel comfortable with everything they've got in the office. We go and get their posts and parcels delivered for them. You know, there's nothing that we really can't do. If they ask, we make a point of trying to find a way of getting around it, and you know, how we can similarly help them down to getting lunches for them, booking meeting rooms for them. Mm. You know, yeah. We've become their secretaries.
Yeah. So whilst, you know, they may only have a fairly sort of modest office space within one of your service buildings, they have the whole resource available at their fingertips for them to use ultimately while they're there.
Yeah, reception is open 8 till 6, Monday to Friday, and Saturday 10 till 3. And we're their receptionists. That's what they pay for. We can take their calls for them. We meet and greet their clients. We send people away that they don't necessarily want to see.
So
you know, sales people turn
you do
up ad hoc, don't
them.
They?
Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. So tell me, Sue, at the moment, how does it work? Because, you know, we're in this slightly kind of bizarre situation where we're in a tier 4 lockdown, for want of a better word. But obviously, it's very much down to your individual tenants in terms of how and when they choose to work. So presumably, as a tenant, they can access your facility, whether it be on a kind of storage basis or on an office kind of needs basis, as and when they need to, through some kind of security key and entry.
Yeah, they all have their own access code for storage, which again is an entry 24/7, deactivates the alarm on their unit, and every office client has an access fob and alarm fob, so they can come and go 24/7. So even when we're not here, which currently we're not because of the Tier 4 lockdown, we're working remotely, they can still come and work from the offices. And there's still quite a few people, surprisingly, that are actually still using the building.
And then within that, obviously, you still have a requirement to make sure that, you know, the highest standards of cleanliness and hygiene are being maintained whilst they're not there. So you have presumably some kind of deep clean cycle that you go through at each site on a daily basis as well.
Yeah. The cleaners come in every day religiously, regardless of who's in the building or not. Mm. We've got a maintenance guy on site that goes around every 3 hours and sanitises all touch points. And the toilets are also cleaned in the same way. Mm. And they're monitored. We've got charts and everything. So the clients that do use the buildings can see firsthand, you know, that area's been cleaned. You know, we've got stations where biscuits and things can be picked up from now. The cookie jars had to go, sadly.
it's always, you know, one of my favourites when I visit.
Yeah. I know, yeah, there's still biscuits here. And But it's a different thing now. You have to take a whole packet. That's a shame,
well,
isn't it?
I haven't got rather a problem with that. So in spite of everything, you guys have found a way to continue to make it work and to continue to help other people make their business work as well. I mean, there's a lot of talk around, you know, have you thought about opening an online shop and selling things online and everything else? But, you know, for you, the reality of your business is you are a physical business site. And you have physical business tenants, you know, using your facilities on a kind of day-to-day basis. And yet you've still managed to find a way to make all of that work despite all the kind of current restrictions.
Yeah, I mean, we supported all of our office clients as well across all three sites with reductions on rent for the first 3 months. So through the months of March, April and May, we reduced our client storage rent, office rent, and to help them through that period. And I think that's gone a long way. You know, it's helped them. That many of those clients have been retained because of that support that we gave them. And, you know, they're now digging deep and supporting us in the same way now through this Tier 4 lockdown. They're still here. They're still working.
Yeah.
You know, we've lost some, especially in Chatham, but, you know, it's okay. We've done good. We're all good.
And customers always vote with their feet, don't they? You know, particularly when, you know, when times aren't so good. But you know, the fact that you've retained the majority of your clients and that they've stuck with you is testament to the fact that they probably don't feel their business, you know, would exist in the same way without you. So you're very much kind of, you know, in partnership.
We're very blessed,
as it were.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, we've been very lucky.
Yeah. So, Sue, I want to sort of move on now, if we can, to talk about your kind of personal journey in the last sort of 12 months or so. Because you've been through the ringer yourself a little bit, I think it's fair to say, isn't it? On a kind of, on a personal level. So just talk to us if you can and share with us you know what's been going on in your own life over the last sort of 12 months or so.
Well, I suppose March came the first COVID lockdown, so we had to prepare and hunker down the company to get everybody working from home. So that was the end of March, and then towards the end of April, unfortunately I was served the blow of having breast cancer. I had to get that dealt with. So the 28th of April, I was diagnosed with that. The 15th of May, I went in to have surgery. And then I started my cancer treatment on the 16th of June. So I had chemotherapy, which lasted 5 months. And then I had three weeks of radiotherapy, which I'm pleased to say I've now stopped. So the treatment stopped. We've managed to work through it. I managed to remain working.
Do you think that's helped
throughout.
You? Has that sort of, you know, that work focus outside of all of that, has that helped you to sort of just
helps me through everything.
It's my
solace. It's my safe place. It's my distraction. It's my hub and my heart. So it's, you know, for me to be able to get back to work as soon as possible after surgery and during my treatment. I couldn't work in the office, which I'd none of us could, but I couldn't even risk coming into the office because of my treatment. But you know, I'm out the other side. Thank God I was able to get through it reasonably easy without any major side effects. You know, I've mainly lost my hair, which is now growing back in full force.
Lovely.
And it's a challenge, it's experience, it's given me opportunity to learn more about myself and the team around me. My teams that I've got have been absolutely amazing. I couldn't have done any of it without them. And, you know, we are where we are now, 2021.
And on a sort of medical care level, despite COVID, you were obviously you're still able to access, you know, the NHS services that have been so critical to you. And I guess you
I nearly didn't go. Yeah, I nearly didn't go, but I did. Mm. And when I did, it all moves very quickly. I'm very fortunate that I've got private medical cover. So once I'd gone through the National Health part the first time round, my private medical cover picked up the rest. But you know, the NHS did what they needed to do quickly, I didn't have any issues with it.
Amazing. And I know you're normally an incredibly active person. You're normally sort of found at the top of mountains or three mountains on the same day. Yeah. Is it three or four? Yeah. I can't remember.
No, it was three.
Three. Yeah. So have you sort of managed to be able to get back to some kind of semblance of normality there as well? Are you out sort of pounding the streets already and sort of building your fitness up?
I didn't stop training, Martin. I've trained all the way through my treatment. I stopped briefly during my radiotherapy because my internal organs kept moving, and they were going to get zapped by the radiotherapy machine. So I decided to not train, and then they all sort of fell back into their normal place, and my images all went back to normal, so which was interesting. So your internal organs move quite a bit, believe it or not.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. So tell me what. What does 2021 hold in store for you personally and on a kind of business level at Kent Space? What are your kind of plans for world domination, or should I say Kent domination at Kent Space this year?
I think, you know, just to get Kent Space back up on where it was in March would be great by March this year, so that we can say that we started and we stopped in the same place and we didn't lose would be amazing. So we're pushing for that for the next 3 months. And for me personally is to continue to remain healthy and keep cancer at bay and get the regular checks that I need to do. And just look after myself, get some holiday time. I've already booked my holiday for June. I'm very optimistic that we'll be able to go and go and visit some people this year. Please God that this vaccine works and we start to lose some serious numbers of COVID sufferers. And this time next year, hopefully, we'll be saying, COVID, what's that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Sue, it's been lovely talking to you, but I can't let you go without giving us a quick shout out for how people can get in touch with you at Kent Space, either on a serviced office space basis or for storage. What's the best way for people to kind of contact you and find out more information about your centres?
Visit us at www.kentspace.co.uk for the storage, and go to www.officespacekent.co.uk for the office space. All the details for all of the offices, the branches, the facilities that we have in different areas and the costs are all on there.
Brilliant.
But of course, please give us a call. We can give you a virtual tour at this moment in time and help you through, you know, getting the right sized unit. Storage or the right office for you and your team.
Because that, I guess, is a sort of a continually moving feast as well in terms of your availability at each of the centres and what people can kind of find out about on the day, as it were. You really need to have that conversation with them, don't you, directly, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, we've got people are sort of like within minutes away from each building if it's needed, but most of it can be done virtually.
Yeah.
But we are a face-to-face business, and the sooner we can get back to some normality, the better for everyone.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, Sue, look, it's been absolutely lovely to have you with us today, and thank you so much for sharing your as I say your own personal journey over the last 12 months as well. I think that's hugely motivating for people out there and encouraging you know, for others that are going through the same thing, frankly, at the moment. So, yeah, it's great to know.
It doesn't break you, makes you stronger.
Yeah, and it's great to know that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and you've just got to kind of, you've got to be in it to win it, I guess, haven't you? That's ultimately.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay positive. Believe, and the rest will come.
Brilliant. So, it's been absolutely lovely talking to you, and we will talk to you again in the very near future, hopefully when things are looking a lot brighter all round, weather-wise and pandemic-wise. Yeah. But for now, thanks for joining us, and we'll catch up with you very soon.
Thank you, Martin. Take care.
Thanks, Sue. Take care. All the best. Bye. Well, that was the absolutely brilliant Sue McGowan there, talking to us about her personal journey with cancer over the last year, and also the wonderful work that her and her team do at Kent Space. And very sadly, that brings us to the end of our show today. So thank you ever so much for joining us. I appreciate it's the first day back at work for most people today. So to have you with us has been absolutely brilliant. As always, we've covered a lot of ground. We've had some fabulous guests. We will be back in 2 weeks' time. On the 18th of January, where we have another couple of guests for you, and also hopefully an update on all the latest business news in the county and beyond as well. But for now, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll speak to you again soon. Bye for now.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect. Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world. Tweet us at Kent_biz.